It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. And Logan, I hope everybody had a happy Mother's Day as folks are listening to this, hopefully coming off a fantastic weekend. And we're actually going to have a mom on the show on Thursday, Mina Kimes. She's got a little one running around. So don't forget that Mina's coming on the show on Thursday. But today we'll answer a couple of mailbag questions, Logan, and talk about rookie mini camp, which you went to on Saturday.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously looking forward to having Mina on the show. That's always going to be a great time. But the, rookie mini camp is a funny deal. You know what I mean? Because I think everyone thinks it's this really grand thing. It's about an hour. You know, they do a warm up. They do a little bit individual. They do one competitive period. And I'm going to put air quotes on the competitiveness of it because it's just 7-on-7. And so it's really hard to kind of get a feel for, you know, players and athletes. And I think people say, well, you know, what is the benefit of rookie mini camp? And I would say it lets you kind of get, for some of these like tryout guys specifically, like I think we talked about this maybe leading in, it's like really hard for a tryout guy to make it.
Yeah.
But it does let you kind of get a feel for the guy, how they're wired, what they're, you know, how they study. And I think that that's something that you can get out of it when you're watching practices, just like general modus operandi for the individual. Do they look the part generally? And do they show anything maybe a little bit more, a little bit upside? And I think that's, again, kind of if you're going to, if you ever get a chance to watch rookie minicamp, like, that's really what it is. You're not going to be able to be like, oh, so-and-so had a pick or so-and-so did this or that was an amazing tackle. Like, they're in soft shells. They have helmets on. It's basically just a warm-up. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what it is, like an extended warm-up with some football stuff. But it does let you kind of get a feel for the kid and what's going on in terms of their mental wiring. So
right, and they're in for the week or the weekend, so you get a little bit of classroom time.
2 days, 3 days?
Yeah,
three
you
days?
Get a little bit of classroom time because you have to be able to install, like you have to have plays to run, even if it's a very, 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 very slim playbook. So you get to see how these guys learn. You get to see how they adapt. You get to see how they respond to feedback on the field. How coachable are you? Like you get that kind of stuff, but like, are you a good NFL football player? You're not answering that question at all. What you're really trying to answer is like, could this guy potentially maybe, if I squint and see it, become an NFL good, even in a decent NFL football player.
Yeah, and it's funny the things you're like looking at. You know, I was watching the special teams drill, you know, and so obviously you're kind of keeping an eye on guys that just have like, you know, there's an effort, there's an energy, there's a pop to their play. And one of the guys that stood out to me was Trey Amos, right? And he should stand out. He's your second round pick. But, you know, every single time, like the coach being like, hey, that's exactly what we want. That's the best rep of the day. Like, he's taking feedback from the coach. He's applying it to the drill, and he's executing with his tremendous physical ability. And again, like you kind of go back to your priors and you say, oh, well, we knew Trey Amos was a smart kid, right? We knew he was like kind of played in multiple systems. He's like a football. He's been exposed to a lot of football. And so it makes sense that he'd have a really good player's ear for coaching, right? And so that's always really good. And then the safety from where's he from? Jackson State. Is that correct?
Rob McDaniel.
Yeah. You know, he, like, you're watching him do the bag drill where they, like, kick set on the punt team and they hit and they strike the bag. And he has a good feel for the stab arm and the bag when he strikes it. It's got a really good pop to it. So you're like, okay, there's a guy that has some good play strength and has a good feel for the rhythms of it. So, I mean, that's kind of stuff you're looking for. You're just kind of looking for, like, hey, these are guys that, you know, like, obviously Trey Amos is getting verbal confirmation that he's doing a good job in the drill. But then, you know, with the safety, for example, it's more like, hey, like, he's showing a physicality in the context of this that you're like, oh, this is pretty solid. So
yeah, for sure. They signed on Friday. So this was before the first practice, the one that was initially going to be open, then got moved inside due to rain. And then they opened Saturday to the media instead. But before they could start camp, they actually signed a bunch of dudes, just real quick, the listed names. And then I want to run through kind of how everybody looked, because the other thing, Logan, about seeing these guys, and you've had a chance for the draft picks, I guess, to see them in person before, not in football pads, because you've had a chance to interview a bunch of them
at
Command Center. But the first time you like see guys in a uniform, even if it's shorts and shells, you're like, oh, and one of the things you texted me was like, yeah, Connerly's huge. And he's just like, you're like, you're an NFL size player versus other guys where you're like, oh, I see why you were maybe a UDFA. But the list of guys, just so people have it, and this could change by the end of the week, where they cut a guy and bring in someone else or whoever. But Cam Arnold, Ricky Barber, the defensive tackle, Ja'Cory Brooks, the receiver from Louisville, who we talked about last week. Ventrell Cypress is a corner. Jacoby Jones, receiver. Ale Cajo, another UCLA linebacker, if I'm remembering correctly. Rob McDaniel, the safety we just talked about. Timothy McKay, who is a guard who I saw on the side. He's got like his arm was in a sling.
He tore his pec benching at his pro day.
So, but
I mean, it's to me, like, I think I said this somewhere else, but he's kind of a guy that could have been drafted, but obviously with the injury isn't. Yeah. So he's a nice guy to get in the program for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So he's on the 90, and if he can recover from that torn pec, and who knows, maybe they even put him on like PUP or whatever, and, yeah. and he just misses, he basically gets a redshirt year to be around the building and rehab, and then to see if that, you know, it's a free draft pick almost for next year. Trey Rucker, the safety, and then Carlin Vigors, the corner who we talked about as well last week. So those are the UDFAs who they signed to the 90-man roster going into the weekend, Logan. But let's start out with the draft picks. Josh Connerly, what'd you see from him? I know, again, it's not much. There's no competitive situations for the O-line, D-line because it's just the 7-on-7. But what'd you see from Josh Connerly, how he moved on the football field in person, anything else that stood out?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously he's kind of touted as being this great athlete. So you want to see a certain amount of athleticism. And you see that, like, one of the drills that I really enjoyed watching was they kind of, they have them do like a pull path, or like they work like a combination to the second level. So they're kind of working in a space and they take one of those big blue physio balls. Sometimes they're black, and then they roll them across the ground and they kind of got to bend down and pick it up as they're running. And so it's a good way to kind of see how people work the timing of their feet, you know, how they kind of can bend and sink their hips while running full speed, which is something that's really important for offensive linemen. And you kind of watch them all go through, and Connerly would come up, and each one prior, there's like a little bit of a hiccup, there's a trip, they kick the ball, and then Connerly comes up on all of his reps and was literally just like about as smooth as I've ever seen it done. So like, that's a good sign, right? You're just checking that athlete box. They did some pass pro stuff where, again, like, you see his quick feet. Everyone's familiar with the Connerly challenge at this point. Like, those feet are live and they're real in terms of watching him on the field. And I actually was impressed with how big he looked. Like, you know, I've met him. We did the first interview right after he got drafted, and he's 315, but he doesn't feel like he's like a thin 315, you know? And so seeing him on the field in his pants, like, it's a crazy thing to say, I know.
I know.
But seeing him on the field in his pads, you're like, oh, like, he's a big dude. You know, he looked like one of the bigger guys out there. And they had a guy from Mississippi State who was 330, and they looked about the same size. So again, like, I think thinking about him continuing to grow, continue to get more kind of muscularity to his body is going to be cool. But the athlete was definitely there. And that's always like, that's kind of the simplest box to check, but at least he didn't look like the Tin Man out there, which is something that I've seen happen before in minicamp.
Yeah, for sure. There's two things in there that you said that reminded me of Trent. One is just a story from Trent. But the second one is what you said last. We're like, you didn't realize how big Trent Williams was until he was in uniform, or you were standing right next to him, because he's so fluid as an athlete. He's just like walking around. You're like, oh yeah, that's a big man. And then, like, I remember one time I was walking in the locker room like shoulder to shoulder with him, except for my shoulder is not at his shoulder because I'm only 6 feet tall and he's larger. And you're just like, God. And then, like, you'd see him come out of the tunnel in pads and you're like, oh, that's Trent Williams. The other thing that I remember Trent telling me at one point is, even for him at his athleticism, like the greatest athlete probably to ever play left tackle, he's like, hitting little dudes in space is the hardest thing I do. It's so hard. You have these little guys that are trying to juke you. You're out there full speed trying to block. And like, it was fun for Trent because when he hit, like, it just was on all the highlight reels, and like, he'd be out there killing dudes. But it's, you know, when you talked about Connerly having an athleticism and a coordination at full speed that other guys don't have, like, that is an elite trait. And not saying that Connerly's going to do it at Trent's level, because no one else ever has. But obviously, the guys who can do that at a high level in space, that's a huge thing, especially in this run game with all the GT pulling and GT counter and all the GT everything that these guys do, where that tackle is out there in space. All right, Trey Amos. You talked about him a little bit already in the special teams drills, but I also know that he stood out to you a little bit with what he can do on defense.
Yeah, you know, they do that, you know, obviously the special team stuff was excellent. You know, just to see a guy who's locked in, like, correct shoulder on the tackle. You know, they're not tackling anybody, but the bag's there, and they approach the same way. They're in good position. They run the hoop the right way, getting the feedback from the coach. That's good. You know, and again, it's not going to say he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but it's just, like, good to see that box get checked. He's taking coaching. And then they do that drill where they kind of imagine there's a receiver towards the sideline. They've got their hand out. They say ball, and they turn around and they catch it. And so you get, it's kind of cool. You get to watch everybody go one after another. And it's always good because I try to sit kind of far away, like up on the hill so I can see everything.
Yeah.
And it's always good when you say, who the heck is that guy? Because you can't see the number necessarily until they get back in line. You're like, oh, that's Trey Amos. Like, that's a good sign, right? Your first round pick should feel and move at a different caliber, or second round pick, excuse me, should be a little bit different than the rest of those guys. And I felt like that's the vibe I got from Trey Amos. Just the way he tracked the football, the, like, again, like his, like even in the coverage, like when they would kind of did like skelly coverages, you know, like when they're kind of, they get the scout team defense out there and they run offensive routes and they kind of match. Just, you could tell he was locked in. It was a good day for him. And again, it's
one day, it's rookie minicamp, and he's probably one of the best two players out there. So he should have a good day, but at least he had the good day.
Yeah. And like, again, like you've seen, I've seen, you go out there and you're like, ooh, like, I think honestly, like I think about Brandon Scherff, the first time I played with Brandon Scherff, and Brandon Scherff's one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. But the first week he played tackle, I was like, oh no. You know, like he just, it was a little bit slower. It wasn't up to the speed. It wasn't quite. And then obviously they moved him to guard, and then the rest is history. But there is a little bit of, I think, consternation until they get the guy in the building. And so for both those guys to look and move the way they're supposed to move, I thought was appropriate. And again, it wasn't like they're just, oh, I'm just kind of subjectively evaluating. It's like, he's the one that's always catching the football. He's the one that's able to turn and open his hip the right way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there were some things there empirically to take away from that.
All right, Jalen Lane, fourth round pick. By the way, if you want a little bit more on Jalen, I talked to his special teams coordinator, Virginia Tech, on the show on Friday, Stu Holt. So Stu was great. Caught Stu on the golf course. So he took a hole off and was willing to talk to us. So that's a good man right there. Appreciate it. Also helps your score. Hey, oh, just those shots didn't happen. I don't know why I shot five better today than I usually do. But no, Stu was great. So if you want to check that out in the Hoffman Show podcast feed, you can do that there. But Logan, what'd you see from Jalen on Saturday?
So obviously the first thing you see is him catching punts, and like, it, they've got five dudes here that can catch punts, and they all kind of go up and do it different ways, but just kind of the confidence that he catches it with, like how he hits it downhill, like all those little things you want to see for, and it's, they're doing it on air. So again, like it's don't sell the farm on him yet, but it's good to see him do that.
Yeah. I will say Stu said that he's the most fearless returner he's ever seen. And so I know it's against air and it's whatever, but like the fact that stood out to you, and that's our, like, that's one of the things that his coach and other evaluators have seen. Like, I think it's pretty cool that you saw that, like, in a drill on air. We were just like,
and just to give you an
confidence
example
of how it goes. Yeah.
And why I would say that is like, some guys get under there and they have to get right under the football. And when they catch it, they really bend their knees and sink their hips, and they really absorb the ball in a way, and because it makes it hard for them to run afterwards. He'd get up there and he catches it kind of with a greater knee angle. Like, he's kind of standing tall, and so he can just hit it. Like, you can just tell, like, he's ready to go. There's no deep basket catch. There's no off angle. It's like, I'm lined up, and even if I'm not perfectly lined up, I can hit this thing downhill. So even though he catches the ball, and again, it's six reps, seven reps, so there's nothing like crazy about it, but I think that's a good sign, and that shows up on film at Virginia Tech. The other thing is, like, watching him run routes, I think he's got a little bit of, and this is something I thought, again, like, when we were talking about him, like, just a little bit of stiffness, right? And sometimes those super fast guys are really a little stiff, but catches the football well. The thing that I kind of took away, kind of the most important skill, most important quality from him is, dude, he is locked in. He's locked in. Every drill is important. He's catching the football. He's finishing. Like, he's going to be a good pro. Like, you see the coach's kid of his background, and I'm like, at a minimum, he's going to be a good special teams player, but, like, he's going to continue to get better, right? He's like, for example, there was a couple guys there that were tryout guys, right? And there's one guy in particular we'll talk about in a second who I thought did a great job of this. But other guys, there's just, like, a lack of urgency. And with Jalen Lane, he was urgent all the time. And I think that's something that you say, okay, like, this is why this guy is who he is. This is why you take him in the fourth round. And again, like, that's what I like to see too. I like to see guys that are locked in, checking boxes. This is important to you. And that's another really good thing about rookie minicamp. It's like, yeah, you're a draft pick, you're on the team, like, whatever. But to see that, like, we're locked in, this is important. Yeah. We're getting better today. That's important also. So,
yeah, this is your first day at work. Treat it like such. And Jalen Lane did. All right. What about your boy, Kane Medrano?
Yeah, man. I mean, he just is like a different mover. You know, I think they had five or six linebackers there, you know, and he just is like a different cut of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like they did like a drill where you got to backpedal and open up and catch the football. And like his ability to like adjust and like kind of contort to catch the ball. They did this drill where they're doing backpedals and then have to backpedal under the chute and then run out of it. And so what you'll see is guys like dip their head, their butt will come up, and it's a tough drill. Like I've done it as a blocker. Like it's very uncomfortable under there to keep that kind of pad level. And again, like to his athleticism, like it looks like there's nothing there. It looks like he's just kind of skating. So again, the athlete's there. I did think he did have a learning curve in the punt drill that they were doing pre-practice, you know, like kind of just, hey man, like make sure we're stabbing the inside hand. And as a guy who did punt team for a long time, you can see it, you can feel it, like that hand should shoot out there. Because if you're playing guard, for example, on the punt team, your inside hand, if I'm playing the right guard, my left hand is actually helping the center get to his block. And if I don't put my hand out there, the weakest part of the protection is the center. So I need to trust that he needs to trust me that my hand's out there, and then I need to get to my work secondary. A lot of times in college, because of the rules, you know, they have this kind of free release punt. The guys just don't have that skill set developed yet. So he'll figure it out. He's a smart kid. They're going to get him right because he's going to be a great special teams player here. There's no doubt in my mind. But, you know, like the athlete's there, the urgency's there. But obviously the technical accumulation is still new to these guys. And that's why it's great to get the rookie mini camp in, because you can kind of start laying the foundation for some of that stuff.
For sure. And then last but not least amongst the draft picks, how about Bill?
Yeah, I think of all the positions that are like toughest to evaluate, it's the running backs, yeah. You know, because there's like, yeah, you look good in the bag.
It's like a training camp practice. You score on every play.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you look good in the, and they don't even do team run. You know, they do like individual. So he's with the running back coach the whole time. They do routes on air, and then they do 7-on-7. And none of those things are things like, again, you want to see them catch the football well, obviously. You want to see them look good in the bag drills, obviously, but there's no blitz pickup. There's none of the physical elements of the position are there for you to look at. I think that's the thing about it that is tough with a running back specifically, right? It's just like, yeah, you look super fast. You look like you've got great feet and good. You should have those things if you're an NFL running back. But then it's like, as they get into training camp, you get to see more of that physicality. So I think he looked fine. You know, I'm not going to make any declarative statements about what he is or what he isn't, because I want to see him with the pads on and I want to see him get downhill. I want to see him pick up a blitz. I think he can do all those things, but rookie mini camp for running back specifically is kind of like, okay,
it's a workout. It's not a football practice.
And to be fair, like for all those guys, like the movement skills are all there. The professionalism's there, and that's exactly what you want to see. Yeah. But you know, people change when the pads come on. And I think that's something that I always have to remind myself is like, you can look great in shirts and shorts, but when the pads come on, like that's when we're playing the game. And Santana is always so good about reminding me of this, is because like we go out and watch practice every day, and it's like, oh, look at this guy move, look at that catch, look at this break on the football by the DB. And Tana's like, man, like this is great, and it's good to kind of see this like preliminary evaluation, but shoot, like they're not playing football yet. And I think that's always a good reminder, especially with a rookie minicamp setup like this.
Yeah, for sure. All right. With that caveat, in fresh on our minds, is there any of the UDFAs that stand out that you want to talk about? We talked about McDaniel a little bit already, but whether it's more on him, some that you haven't said yet, or that you think is important, or any of the other guys?
You know, the guy from the International Pathway Program, TJ Magaraga. I don't know how to say his name, but it's like,
sorry,
it's,
TJ.
He's from Nigeria. He looks good. He looks big. He looks fast. He looks urgent. You know, like watching him do the pass rush drills, he catches your eye as a guy that's like kind of twitched up, has some good movement skills. In the punt drill, he's just like every play, he's like giving it all, which I like to see. You know, and I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but like the body's there, the mentality seems to be there, and I want to see what he looks like with pads on. But he's a guy that caught my eye. I mentioned Rog McDaniel.
Just real quick. So for background on, I don't know that I'm going to do any better on the name. But Magura Nyangwa, TJ, we'll try to get your name right. Sorry to not have the pronunciation guide in front of us. But he's from Zimbabwe. 22 years old, former rugby player. And the thing is, he's 22 years old. He's a young dude. And so to know that you get basically a free practice squad spot, like he's going to be around this year. And that tends to be how those international pathway players work. The chances that he turns into Jordan Mailata are very slim. A guy who like bona fide NFL player, nevertheless, one of the best at his position, but a guy that you know, if he's playing rugby and at a professional grade level, like, you know, the athlete is there and he's so young. So it's going to be fun to watch him develop. He's only, you know, he's listed like 222 pounds. So if he's going to play defensive end, like, we're going to, your main job is going to be to stay in the cafeteria, in the weight room, to get twitched up and, or stay twitched up, but at a weight that you can attack an offensive tackle. But it's going to be fun to watch him.
He definitely looks like, kind of like McGee a little bit, like kind of this rocked up hypermuscular build, which is, so I don't know if he weighs 220, but he looks bigger. You know,
he's listed at 220. Bigger. He could have already gained 10 pounds, 15 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But again, like, he's a guy that definitely caught my eye. I already mentioned Rob McDaniel, the safety, just like his physicality. He just seems like a dark horse candidate to maybe make the squad. Ja'Cory Brooks was another guy that stood out to me. And talk about receivers, get to watch them all kind of one after another. Like, the craftsmanship of what he did, like watching him in 7-on-7, the releases, finding the space, the route mechanics in terms of how to break down, how to stem a route, like, that showed up for me. And so those were probably the two guys that I thought stood out the most. Ventrell Cypress was hurt, so he didn't practice. So him and Timothy McKay didn't practice. They were on the side. But the two guys that I mentioned, I thought the three guys that I mentioned look pretty solid. And again, it's one step, it's one baby step in the right direction. But just based on the first day of practice that I saw, I thought those were some guys that deserved a shout out.
All right, so shout out to them. We'll see a bunch of those dudes at OTAs, which are towards the end of the month, and that's kind of the next big thing. So there's your rookie minicamp recap. Let's get to some mailbag questions.